I went to a football game last night. That's why my eyes are puffy. Stayed up too late. But had this sermon in mind, and it was a good day to have gone to the football game because it has to do with winning. It has to do with winning. I want to win. I didn't have to work myself up to want to win. It's just I want to win. You know, whatever I'm in or whoever I'm rooting for, I want to win. You know, we talked about our veterans today. I got to believe there's something in the heart of a soldier that says, I want to win. Especially if you're in a life and death situation, right? You want to win. And so what we're going to talk about today is winning, how we win, and how winning requires a football game comes in. Look, you cannot win a football game if you don't cross the right lines. There's a line that sits right in front of the area called the end zone. If you don't cross that line, more times than the other team crosses that line, you don't win the game. There's some other lines. There's lines on every yard of a 100-yard football field. Do you realize there is a yard, there is a line, a hash mark, at every yard for 100 yards. There's 100 of these lines. And if you don't cross those lines and go forward and get your team in position to score by touchdown or field goal, you're not going to win the game. It's just not going to happen. You're going to lose. You're going to lose bad. Or you're going to lose badly in the sense of be ahead for 59 minutes of a 60-minute game and then lose in the last minute. Does that give away what game I was at? Okay. And so we went to this game, and we saw the team that we were rooting for, and they lost in the last minute. But they had a problem. There was a flaw to their whole strategy. They didn't have a going forward strategy all the time. They had a sideways strategy where they tried to run to the out of bounds on that side or that side. They didn't cross lines. They didn't go forward. And that's a losing strategy. You can't win going sideways. You have to go forward, and you have to cross the right lines. Now, for all those who are not football fans, I know what you're thinking. Would he preach from the Bible or something like that? Because I don't even like football when I'm watching it. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Because for us as Christians to win, I'm convinced that we have to have a winning strategy that requires us to move forward and to cross lines, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's scary, even when it's not easy, we have to go forward. We have to take ground. We have to take steps in the right direction, and we have to cross lines. If you have a copy of God's Word, I don't know if it's going to show up on the screen or not, but it may. 1 Corinthians Chapter 9, verses 18 through 23. What we're going to hear is a winning strategy for Christians from a winning Christian. And this is what he says. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Let's pray. Father God, we've gathered in your name. We've sung your praise. Now we've heard your word. Would you put deep in our heart this winning strategy that comes from your word? Help us not to be complacent Christians. Help us not to be running from side to side distracted Christians. Help us to be those who cross lines, who move forward for the sake of the gospel, that we might win in the way you define winning. And that we would not allow ourselves the luxury of excuses for why we don't do what you've commanded your people to do. Give us guts as a church family today. Give us fortitude that we might do what you'd have us to do. And we know where those guts come from. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ, who had more strength and more courage than anyone who ever walked the face of this earth. Give us courage like Jesus. The same courage we see in the Apostle Paul. The same courage we see in those who cross lines every day. Give us that kind of courage for the gospel's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all recognize this? See this tape? Uh-oh. Well, it looks like that, except for longer. Y'all crossed this tape when you came in here today. Y'all have already crossed some lines. I'm going to tell you in a minute what these lines represent, and I'll try to rip the tape off better. I assigned that job to somebody else, by the way. Crystal and Nate, where you at? Thank you for putting these lines out. You did a lot better than I could. But you've crossed lines. They're right there at the door. When you walked in, you crossed over them. And you had to keep crossing over them. The farther you came down, the more lines you crossed. Crossing lines is just part of what we do. It's a part of what we need to do to win. Did you hear what the Apostle Paul said? He said he wanted to win all the more. He wanted to win all the more. So he knew he was going to have to cross lines. But I want you to think about what winning meant to Paul and what winning means to us Christians. Why should we cross a line in our society, in our culture? Why should we cross the line of politics? Why should we cross the line of race? Why should we cross lines of forgiveness? Why should we cross lines of addiction? Why should we cross lines of class? If you think you live in a country that doesn't have a class system, then these words would be meaningless to you. Upper class, middle class, and lower class. We live in a classed society. Why would I ever cross those lines? What's the win for me? What's the objective? What am I going to get? And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said for himself, and I believe this is applicable for us. He says that when I preach the gospel, I want to present the gospel without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. And then he says a series of I win statements, that I might win the Jews, that I might win those who are under the law, that I might win those who are without the law, that I might win the weak. And at the very end, he says that I might be a partaker of the gospel with you. Do you know what Paul wanted? Do you know what a win was for Paul? First and foremost was to become a partaker of the gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? I know I'm asking a lot of questions. Y'all might say, John, stop asking all these questions. The gospel says this, that a holy, sovereign God sent his Son, the perfect incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ, to take on your sin and my sin because, here's the grand motive, He loves us so much that whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. You know what winning was for Paul? To have everlasting life. To be a partaker of the gospel. But that was only part. The other part was that you would have everlasting life. And that you would become a partaker of the gospel. See, for Paul, winning wasn't just about what he got blessed with, but what did others get blessed with? Whether they be Jews or Gentiles, blacks or whites or Latinos, whether they be whoever, that they would get blessed if they were people who were under the law, people who live very strict lives. Or there are people without law. Everybody knows an outlaw. Pagan lifestyle. No rules. whoever they were. Part of winning meant that I can share what I have with you and with you. How is it that I can win if I know that you're losing? How can it be a win for me if I know it's tragedy for you? Especially when I know this. For me to win doesn't mean you have to lose. For me to be saved doesn't mean that you have to be lost. For me to share in the gospel doesn't mean that I have to keep you away because there's not enough love to go around. Have you ever seen in a farmyard? I'm not a farmer, but I've been to the zoo, and I've been to the zoo enough times where you go to a little farm park, and you'll see a pig with its piglets, and there's a lot of piglets, but there's not as many places to feed from mama pig that there are piglets. What happens in that scenario? Anybody who's familiar with that, or maybe with dogs. A dog has a big litter, and all the puppies are hungry at the same time. And they all come to mama, and they're all looking for the same thing. They're looking for milk. They're looking to be fed. But let's say there's 12 puppies, and there's only 6 places to be fed. What happens? Are they all nice and cordial and say, hey, after you? No, I'll wait until you're done. No, what do they say? Get out of my way! And you see those pigs learning how to root really early because they start rooting out. And the ones who get to the mama are the ones who get big and strong, and they have to fight. They have to fight to win. Y'all, listen. There's enough food and love in Christ that no one need be left behind. We don't have to root others out to make ourselves look better. We don't have to stand on the shoulders of others to get to the heights of what God has for us. What this says is we can cross lines and that we can invite everyone to come. No one need not be invited. No one need not be shared with. I don't want to win while I know my neighbor's losing. I don't want to lose while my neighbor's winning. I want to win. So what did it mean to win for Paul? It meant this, that I've been born again in Christ Jesus according to the gospel. I've been given the gospel promises, and now I get them, offer them freely to you. I get to offer them freely to you. Have you come, is that winning in your life? Let me suggest this. Most of us have not defined winning according to the gospel message. Most of us define winning by our income, by our happiness in relationships, by the health of our children or grandchildren, by what we have accumulated, by what we have not done wrong. Winning means I haven't done anything so wrong that I'm in prison. Sometimes that's all it is for somebody to win. Let me suggest to you that those are not valid Christian measures for success. Success is not about getting. It's not about staying out of trouble. It's about taking the good news of Christ, living it to the full, and sharing it with everyone you know. Paul says, that's what it means for me to win. Being a fountain of life. Being part of the bread of life. Being an ambassador for Christ to those who are lost and dying. For those who have got stuck in a rut and they don't have any other way out, that I can say, look, I found a way out. For those who are stuck in an addiction and there's no way out, and to say to them, you don't have to lose, my friend. There is a way out. For those who are lost in darkness, to say there is a light. That's what it means to win. Do you believe the Bible? That's a rhetorical question. Do you believe the Bible? You know it says it's better to give than receive? Is that part true? Because a lot of times when I see people measure success, they measure by what they get, not by what they give. But the Bible says it's better to give. What do we see Paul doing? I've become like these people. I've given of myself. That's my joy. That's my win. That's how I do it. I give away. I've been given eternal life, and I share it. Do you know what this implies about Paul? It implies about Paul that he saw people as people. Isn't that weird? He saw people as people. I can look at this crowd, and I have a couple choices. I can look at people as people, or I can label people with labels and see the label. They're probably Democrat. They're probably Republican. They look like they have money. They look like they don't have money. They're blind, crippled, and crazy. They're fat and unhealthy. They're thin and healthy. I can put all kind of labels on things. They do good, they do bad. Or I can see people. All people have some things in common. You know what you were born as? Were you born a Democrat or Republican? Hey, were you born a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim? Or a pagan? Were you born a Baptist? Were you born a Catholic, or a Methodist, or a Presbyterian? Let me help you out. You were born a baby. A human baby. Created in the image of God by a loving creator. None of those labels meant anything to you then. They ought not mean a whole lot to us now. Because I'm going to tell you, a loving God has a loving plan for His people He created in His image. And we can win, all of us. We can win, all of us. But we have to have a strategy that says, I see people as people, people who are lost and need the gospel, people who are saved and discouraged, people who need Jesus Christ. Do you know who I am? A man who needs Jesus Christ. A sinner saved by grace. No more, no less. An addict freed from addiction. No more, no less. Who are you? Are you more than that? Do you carry your labels? Are they heavy on your shoulders today? Do you label yourself? Do you know what we do? As much as we do to others, we do to ourselves. This is who I am. And we put a list of labels. And now I have to live up to all this hype about these labels. That's not winning. That don't seem like winning to me. I want to win by living the gospel out in my life and offering it freely to all those who need it. To me, that seems like winning. I don't have to ask if somebody's predestined or not. Look, believe in the gospel, you're predestined. Just bingo bango. I don't have to do all that business. I don't have to worry about whether or not you came from this background or that background. Jesus Christ is above all those things. Hey, was Jesus a Democrat or a Republican? Sometimes we think these labels are so important. Was he a liberal or a conservative, by the way? Oh, you know, there was a lot of politics in Jesus' time, y'all. Don't go thinking there wasn't. He had the choice to get involved politically all over the place. He lived in a hugely political time. But what did he talk about? About a kingdom. Uh-oh, sounds like politics. But then he said the kingdom of heaven is a whole different kind of politics. Where there's no votes for president, there's no votes for emperor, there is a king, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? I love it. And there's never a renewal on his reign because he's good. We don't ever need to change him. He's good. He changes us into his likeness. Y'all, winning for me is being changed into his likeness more and more that I might not think about the labels, and I'll see the people like Paul saw the people, and I'll offer the gospel to all who need it so we can all win. You've heard me say that already. I'm repeating it because I want us to get it, church. Because last night I saw a strategy that didn't win on the football field. And I think so often we've adopted non-winning strategies in church. We get onto our place. There's a line behind me. There's a lines in front of me. And I'm not comfortable crossing those lines. I'm not comfortable crossing those labels. And so what I do is I'm going to go from one side to the other. And it's going to seem like I'm very busy. Woo, John. He and his church are going places. Look, they're running and they're skipping and they're jumping. Woo! But they haven't gone forward. They haven't crossed a line. And if you don't cross a line, you don't win. Look at Paul's strategy. I have become, he said, all things to all men that I might by all means win some. I've crossed the line. Y'all, listen. There's a couple things the devil does to us that makes us useless as the body of Christ. And we need to hear it, and we need to avoid it. First thing is he makes us complacent. A complacent Christian is one who dances in between the lines. They just go backwards and forwards. I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many times I watched football players last night. Let's pretend my Bible's a football. And they received the football. And the touchdown zone was that way. And I'm telling you, I watched them time and time again turn completely sideways, run as fast as they can to the out of bounds. Almost as if they were challenging someone on the other team and saying, I bet you I can beat you to the sideline. You know what happened? They got to the sideline, they blew a whistle, and they brought the ball back to the middle, and they did the whole thing all over again. Every once in a while, they'd throw a little change in there, and they would say, I'll run to that sideline. And then if they wanted to get more varied, they said, you know what we'll do? I'll put a receiver on that sideline, and I will pass the ball sideways to him. This is what he said. This is what they did. Now, that's a football game. These are college athletes. If they don't get it right, what's the repercussions in the end? If they don't ever get it right, so what? Really, it doesn't really matter. They have a fan base that's not going away. I can tell you that. These folks are going to have people at the game. They're going to have people rooting for them, cheering for them. My boys are diehard fans of this team now, much to the chagrin of other people. But they love them, and they're going to love them probably the rest of their life. But if they don't ever get it right, so what? It's a football game. What happens if the complacent church doesn't get it right? What happens if we don't get this right? What happens if Big John doesn't get this right? And I say, let's run to this side. And we go, whoo, that was fun. Let's run back to this side. Whoo, that was even more fun. And I say, stay over there. I'll pass you the ball. We'll pretend to be busy for the Lord. We'll pretend to be doing something. In reality, we're not doing anything. If we don't get this right and we stay the complacent church, if we stay the complacent church, people lose big. People lose real. We're doing our Bible study on Sunday morning in the book of Revelation. And this brought something to my mind in the last months. It's supposed to be weeks, but in the last months, we've been doing this study. And it's this. God wins, and everyone on his side wins too. And everyone opposed loses, and they lose big. The title of this morning Sunday school lesson was Fire and Brimstone. You might say, John, I don't like fire and brimstone. I don't know. I don't like it either. But it doesn't take it away. And if we don't get this job right about getting the gospel to those who need it, we aren't doing our job. And people are going to face a very ugly spiritual, physical reality when they die, when they meet their Lord. That's just the stakes of the life we're playing. It's life or death, blessings or curses. The complacent church is the church that runs between the sidelines, one sideline to another. There's another kind of church that the devil loves to have people have. And that is the church that gets distracted. Wait a minute, I see a line right here. Ooh, I'm just going to pick at this line. This line right here is no good. This line here is politics. It's just no good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick at this line. I'm going to pick at this line until I can just try to remove this line from the lives of my people. I'm going to remove the life from the church where there's no difference, where we're all the same politically. There's no difference between us and the community and us and everybody else. And I'm just going to remove this line. The devil would love to have us focused on these issues. It distracts you from the gospel that gives life. And what if it's denominationalism? Oh, I hate denominationalism. I see a line right there. I'm going to make it my job to pluck away at denominationalism. You haven't been called to pluck away at denominationalism. You haven't been called to set everybody aright politically. We haven't even been called to reconcile all the racial mess in our country. You know what we're called to do as Christians? Cross over that line. It's there. I know it's there. It ain't my business. Let me cross that line and offer the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody I see on the other side of that line. Hey, here's another line. It's not my job to get all hung up on that line. It's my job to cross that line and say, hey, you know what? I've been born again. I got different values from above. I got a whole different birthright. These lines don't mean anything to me. I'm going to another kingdom. Can I tell you about that kingdom? Can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, help us from being activists in the wrong way. You want to be activated? Be an active evangelist in your own way for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everybody is a stand-up on the chairs. I know I got a stage, but not everybody is the evangelist like Billy Graham. Let me tell you about Jesus. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody knows how to give, you know, a witness like, you know, smooth like silk or all these things. But you know what? If you've received love from the Lord Jesus Christ, you can share love from the Lord Jesus Christ with someone else. You want to be an activist? Be that kind. Be an agape, which is unconditional love. Be an agape activist. Don't get distracted with this label and that label trying to remove them. You don't think there was labels in Jesus' time? There was politics. There was labels. There was denominations, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Hellenists. These were all different denominations within Judaism. What did he come to? You can't be a Pharisee anymore, and you can't be a Sadducee anymore, and you can't be a Hellenist anymore, and you can't be a Roman anymore, and you can't be a Jew anymore. Is that what you read in the Gospels? Or do you read this? Come on to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. My yoke is light, my burden is easy. It's the Big John paraphrase. Here's my point. He invites us to come to Him. Church, let's be dedicated to the strategy of crossing lines and inviting people to come know Jesus. Despite the labels, despite that value system that says, they're not of my kind, I'm not of their kind, they don't like me, I don't like them. All that's baloney. You don't like their label. I bet you if you got to know who whatever it is you think you don't like, you would like them. I ain't hardly met anybody I don't like when I meet them face to face. Hardly anybody. You might say, well, John, you're just a likable guy. I'm just saying, look, if we drop the labels and we see a lost soul in need of Jesus, it changes the ball game. If you see a sick person who needs help, you don't hold all these things against them. You just offer help. If you realized you're a sick person who needed help, and they're a sick person who needs help, then you realize you got a comradeship with them. If we saw things that way, what a revival of the Spirit. What a revival and ingathering we would see in Grenada, not somewhere else, in Grenada, here. If there were people bold enough to cross the lines because they felt that winning meant living the gospel to the full and sharing it with others who need it. I want to win. I want to close with this story about where this starts. Where does this strategy start? There was a man who was convicted to his heart that his country was in deep turmoil, deep trouble. He knew that without something happening, the country was going to be doomed. So he said to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll go out and change my country. I'll change my country for God. And as he sat and contemplated, he said, I can't do that. It's much too big. There's hundreds of millions of people who live in my country. There's no way I could impact all them. I have to start smaller. I'll impact my state for God and help them to make a turn and to help them really live for Christ. And then he started realizing there was 2.5 million people in his state. And there was no way he was going to be able to impact every single one of them. And he said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll impact my county. This is what I need to do. I need to impact my county for Christ and for godly values and for who Jesus is and sharing the gospel with all these folks and making a change. I need everyone in my county to make a change for Christ, for godliness. He realized there's 40,000 people in his county and he couldn't do it. It's too much. Where would he even start? And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll impact my city. And I'll go out and I'll impact all the people that they make a radical change for Christ and they start living the way God would have them to live. And he realized there's 15,000 people in his city. And that was more than he could reach and more than what he could change. And so he said, I know what I'll do. I'll start on my street. I'll start on the street I live on. And I'll begin to change those folks for the glory of God so they'll live for God and they'll live radically and they'll go forward. He started realizing there was over 100 people who lived on his block. 60-something families. There's 150 people. And he said, I can't change that many people for deeply and radically for Christ. I know what I'll do. I'll start in my house. And I'll make sure I change all the people in my house radically so they live for Christ every day. And he got in trouble as he started chastising his wife and trying to instruct his children. And he started doing all this and he said, almost discouraged, what shall I do? There's too many people in my house, on my street, in my city, in my county, in my state, in my country. What will I do? And it occurred to him what he needed to do. I'll start with me. I'll become the one willing to cross the line and share Christ with everyone I meet. I'll become the one. Y'all listen. We get focused on wanting to change other people. The truth is nothing starts until you've given yourself over to the lifestyle you're wanting others to embrace. Don't start worrying about the country and the state and the county and the city and your block and the others in your own home until you've squared yourself away and said, I am going to live for Christ and share his gospel freely with those who need it. Amen? Amen. Close your eyes and bow your head. Let me do what I said. Let me practice what I preach. You may be sitting here today and maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you don't know that you have everlasting life. I talked about that end time when there's a judgment and there's hellfire and brimstone. I'm not trying to be scary. It's just a reality that is. If you're not sure what's going to happen to you that day, I want to invite you to make that sure today. There is a line up here between where you're sitting and the steps of the altar, the steps of the stage. If you want to give your life to Christ today, I ask that you cross this line, bow your knees on these steps, and ask Jesus Christ simply to be your Lord and your Savior, and to take your life as you are. If that's you, if you need to do that today, I invite you to come right now. If you're here today and you've fallen victim to labeling, or you feel like you've been victim of labels, and you're needing to live free in Christ, you need to know what it means to live up to the gospel message and to hand that out freely. If you just need to live that way today, then this prayer is for you and me both. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have forgiveness of sin, that we have a promise of eternal life. And Lord, would you bless us? Would you give us the honor of knowing what it means it's better to give than receive? Would you give us the privilege of seeing in the eyes of someone who's lost a light turn on? Would you give us the privilege of seeing many through the ministry of Christ Community Church come to know the love of God which surpasses understanding? Would you give us that privilege? Help us not to be that church that's running to one sideline and the other, lying to itself about being busy and productive. Help us not to be that church that's trying to remove lines as opposed to crossing them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be that church that wins because we follow your strategy. Lord Jesus, you crossed so many lines. You came from heaven to earth to show us the way. From the earth to the cross, our debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. And Lord, we do lift your name on high. We love you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.